football game, NIT, first-round game at Memorial Gym. I told him or asked him to call you at 2:10, and apparently he did. And what did I do? I went to the break and had you sitting on hold. So that's air on the host. My bad.
It's all good, man. I enjoyed hearing about some of your fine sponsors. Now I want to go down to Kitchen Notes and get some biscuits. So, yeah, I'm doing okay. It's all good.
Did make you hungry, didn't it? It makes me hungry when I hear that spot.
Yeah, I know. Are you guys staying warm out there? Did you bring a jacket?
Well, some would accuse us of not being very smart, and that's fair. But we're actually smart today, Kevin. We're in the press box, you know, with the window shut.
There you go. So, yeah, exactly. That's the best place to be with the window shut.
There's no reason to pretend, you know, to have the macho, we're out here in the cold, and our hands are free. Nobody cares in Radio Land, right? So
that's exactly right. The older I get, the less I care about being out in the cold. So, yeah, I'm totally with you 100% on this one.
Let's start with I got a chance to catch up with you at the SEC basketball tournament in Nashville, and of course Vanderbilt with a couple of big wins, and then unfortunately it was pretty clear, and I talked to you Saturday before the Texas A&M game, it just wasn't going to be their day. Overall, what did you make of, and I told you, I said I couldn't be more impressed with the Vanderbilt team. They just wanted it more, in my opinion, than Kentucky on Friday night, and it showed for about 30 minutes of that game.
Yeah, no doubt. Vanderbilt really played great in this stretch. They won 10 out of 11 before the game against Texas A&M, and then just kind of ran out of gas on Saturday, it felt like. And that game on Friday night, of course, anytime Kentucky plays in that event, it's going to be a huge crowd with a lot of blue and really cranked up. And Vanderbilt played just a terrific game. And you try to deal with Shibwe and Kentucky's rebounding, and Vanderbilt did the best it could as far as that goes. But just made plays and got stops and really made free throws, and that was a lot of the difference in the game. Kentucky missed some key free throws. You saw Shibwe twice miss the front end of a 1-1, and Vanderbilt went down and made all its foul shots, but then hitting big shots at the end of the shot clock, too. There was a play with Ezra Magnon at midcourt where he basically walked the tightrope to stay on the right side of the midcourt stripe and then hit a three right at the end of the shot clock. Same thing for Tyron Lawrence. He made that little fadeaway on the right side. It was really big in the closing stretch. So it was really fun, and Vanderbilt made some big plays, and really the scene after the game, with all the fans around and the guys going up on the SEC Network stage and everything, it was really, really fun and cool and just happy. It just felt like a great reward for our program. And that was the 20th win of the season, which is still a notable accomplishment. I think a lot of programs would like to have 20 wins. So you went to Saturday, and again, A&M played what had to be the best half they have played the entire season in the first half. And it was hard for Vanderbilt to really fully recover. It had a chance a couple times to cut it to single figures, but couldn't make that shot. And you know, Selection Sunday is a little disappointing. We can talk about that. But as far as running the SEC tournament, really, really fun. Vanderbilt won two games for the second straight year of that event. And felt like something to build on, especially that win over Kentucky.
Yeah, what was Texas A&M? I didn't see what the final numbers were in the first half, but I know at one point, weren't they shooting like 70% in the first half?
Yeah, at the under four timeout, they were shooting 75%, and they ended up 69% for the first half.
Jeez.
You're talking about a team that makes six threes a game. I think they were 7 of 12 in the first 20 minutes of that game. So, yeah, they absolutely shot the lights out.
And by the way, Jerry Stackhouse, priceless moment on the set of SEC Network with just the mic drop. telling the guys, why don't you guys pick us every once in a while? and they went nuts, man.
That was some great stuff, man. That was so funny. I think the one part I like watching is watching Jordan Wright and him just sort of sitting there smiling, watching it all happen. That was very funny.
No doubt. We woke up this morning, and I don't know, maybe people saw it last night. I woke up this morning, and we talked about him yesterday on the show, and you know, I always hate talking about student athletes, but you know, they are getting paid now. NIL, that does kind of change the conversation a little bit, but you know, he's had his struggles here shooting of late, but to learn that Miles Studi has chosen to transfer, he will not even be in the lineup tonight, has basically already said his goodbyes on social media, I was surprised by that. Were you?
And you hate to see any you know, get to see guys that you know and have been around and called a lot of their games and just spent time with leave the program. But wish Miles nothing but the best. He's a really nice young man, and wish him and his family all the best. Hopefully he will find a good home for the next part of his basketball career. But yeah, you're talking about a guy over the last couple of years. I mean, he shot it really well for a whole lot of the time. He really had his struggles in SEC play this year, but he was shooting over 40% when we went into conference play, you know, first couple months of the season. But he had some good games, and really the one that stood out in SEC play was a game at Texas A&M. He hit 7 threes in that game. But, you know, postseason last year in the SEC tournament, he was really good, and you know, it's had some big roles and some big wins. So I wish Miles all the best.
Yeah, a guy that's had success, but for whatever reason, here of late, just could not get a shot to drop. So, tough to see, but looks like Miles Studi is going to enter the transfer portal and go somewhere else and not play out the NIT. What do you think the Miami – well, let's get your reaction, because we obviously talked about it for a ton yesterday on the show. We got a lot of phone calls, and, you know, it's the same reaction as, you know, by most. What are your thoughts on why Vanderbilt not only didn't get into the NCAA tournament, but really after you watched the show, it just left you going, geez, they weren't even close. Like, I don't even understand that. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, some of it's really hard to understand. I will say that, like, pretty early on in the selection show when they started showing, it was almost after the first region was shown, wherever it was that they showed Mississippi State and Pittsburgh playing in Dayton in the first four, and you saw where NC State was and a couple of the other teams. I was actually texting with a couple of other buddies saying, you know, I have a bad feeling about this. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. And sure enough, Vanderbilt was left out. I was pretty surprised when they showed the first four that were out, that Vanderbilt wasn't even in that group. A lot of it's really hard to understand, and the biggest problem I have with it is the fact that it just doesn't feel like conference play means a whole lot. You know, you play in a league like the SEC, is one of the toughest conferences in the country, go 11-7, and you finish three games ahead of Mississippi State and Arkansas, and beat them both head-to-head. They both have losing records in SEC play, yet they both made the tournament field, and Vanderbilt wasn't anywhere close. That part to me is hard to sort of figure out. Now, to their credit, I mean, and that's no knock on Arkansas or Mississippi State. They're good teams. And as far as state goes, I mean, you look at their non-conference schedule, they had two huge wins. They beat Marquette back early in the season. They beat TCU in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. And, you know, same thing for Arkansas. They had some nice non-conference wins. But I know the net ratings were, there was a big gap in that too. And Vanderbilt was high 70s, low 80s as far as that goes. But yeah, some of it's sort of hard to figure out, and Vanderbilt's been one of the hottest teams in the country. There's no doubt over the last 5 weeks or so, it played as well as anybody out there with the run they made and some of the teams they beat, and they'll beat about a half dozen teams or won a half dozen games anyway against teams that made the tournament field. So, yeah, it was tough, you know, and I won't say it was totally unexpected, because you sort of brace yourself for anything when you're sitting there in that bubble situation. But I was hoping at least after Vanderbilt beat Kentucky on Friday night that we'd be in a spot where you're going to Dayton to play in the first four, you know, at the very minimum, and have a chance to advance and play again. But it wasn't to be, and now you try to, you know, I know for these guys it's probably hard to put all that behind you and move forward and play in the NIT, but that's where you are, and try to make the most of the situation now.
To your point, it did not look like they, and I don't understand this. How could you not value conference wins whenever you took eight teams from the conference, which was tied for the most of any conference? You took eight representatives and put them in the tournament. And by the way, it doesn't seem like they really care about conference tournaments either. I mean, really, you say 11, I say 13. You won 13 games in a conference that committee took eight teams from and had 20 wins on the season. I just continued to scratch my head at that, and some of the teams they put in, they beat. Like, you know, honestly, I said this yesterday, and this is just my two cents. The way Auburn's playing right now, I don't think they belong in. Mississippi State, the way they're playing, they don't look that good. Arkansas doesn't even look that good. I know Musselman is a guy that gets them ready for the tournament, and they'll usually make a run. I expect that. But, heck, even the way Tennessee's playing. And I know it's a full body of work, but, man, I don't know. I feel like those teams are limping in, where Vanderbilt would have came in as an upset favorite if they would have gotten in, depending on a matchup.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it would have been really interesting to see how Vanderbilt would have done in that tournament if they'd gotten in there, because just playing with so much confidence as much as anything. And a lot of times good tournament teams start with good guards, and that's one place that Vanderbilt really excels. When you look at Ezra Magnon and Tyron Lawrence and Jordan Wright, the way those guys have played lately, it's been just really excellent work out of the guys at those spots. And I've come to the conclusion over the years that the conference tournaments mean pretty much zilch. I don't know if it's because they basically have the brackets done before you really get to the last couple days of the conference tournaments, and it just doesn't really matter. I know they have some contingency plans in case somebody wins one of these tournaments that wasn't expected to be in the tournament field, and you have to shift everything around. But you know, there's always that thought as like, well, if this team, if they get in the tournament, they win a couple games, then they're probably a good shot to get in the NCAA tournament. I don't know that really matters at all. Because it certainly didn't seem like in Vanderbilt's case that it made that big of a difference. And even after Vanderbilt beat Kentucky on Friday night, if you look at the net ratings, Vanderbilt only went up a couple spots. I think they went from like 82 to 79. I feel like the net tool might be something that needs some examining as well. I don't totally understand how it's all put together, but some of the metrics don't all add up. And again, I'm biased because I'm trying to figure out a way for Vanderbilt to be in the tournament and why they didn't. Some of these things I think might need a little more examination. And also it makes you think about how you schedule for the future too. Are you going to want to play really good mid-major teams when maybe it does or doesn't help you in terms of getting yourself into position to get in the NCAA tournament in the end? I think all those things will be considerations going forward.
Well, if Coach Stackhouse needs any help, Darren and I have already looked up the bottom of the 363 yesterday. So we've got some teams identified. Hartford and LIU, Green Bay, they are all available for action against the Commodores if they need a little help getting into the tournament next year.
We even threw in the Generals. When they're not playing the Globetrotters,
yeah,
throw in the Generals,
right,
too. They're
if
losers.
That counts there as a win. I think they can get that done. Maybe Holy Cross
is
available.
Yeah, it'd be a quad four win, but, I mean, you take the Generals probably.
Yeah.
They won a couple against the Globetrotters a few years ago. You remember that? They actually beat them.
Absolutely.
Was it a couple? I thought it was one. Didn't they do it one time? Was it a one-off, or did they do it a couple of times?
I can't. I want to say they won more than once. But
okay.
I might be wrong.
Once per coast
brush
or something.
Up on the Generals.
Kevin, I wanted to ask you about tonight's matchup. And just a blunt and honest question, and I don't mean anything by it, Kevin. I just got to ask it. Is Vanderbilt going to be into this tonight? I mean, are they going to be up interested? We know North Carolina decided they weren't even going. So is Vanderbilt going to be into this tonight?
I think so. I mean, I was out of shoot around earlier, and the guys look, to me, they look like they normally do. They're going through the walkthrough and, running the scout team stuff and, running through the plays and things like that. I always think that's a consideration when you look at the NIT and how you think teams are going to do. Maybe ask the same question out of Yale. They came up short in their conference final. They were their number one seed in the Ivy League tournament. They finished tied for the conference championship in the regular season with Princeton and then lost to Princeton in the championship game. So,
hey Kevin,
disappointment for their,
can I ask you, when did I miss the memo? Clearly I didn't get the memo. When did the Ivy League start doing a tournament? I thought that was the whole deal with them. They would just take the regular season champ.
I want to say that they've had it for like maybe 5 or 6 years.
Have
now.
They really?
Yeah, it hasn't been very long. They just started having that not too long ago.
All right.
Well, there
clearly,
there.
I did miss the memo, Justin.
Join that thing.
5 or 6 years.
Okay.
I don't know that academically I'm probably qualified to call this game. I mean, if you like maybe doubled my ACT or SAT scores, maybe I could get in the ballpark, but. I mean, you're talking about Vanderbilt versus Yale. I'm kind of a mid-major directional guy. Thank you to let me in the doors.
Well, you submit a 500-word essay, and then they can, take a look at it. Why is it that you want
to
broadcast this game, good sir?
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Where do you see yourself in 5 years, sir? Thank you so much. Real quick, Kevin, as we close out here with this, if God forbid, if this is the end for Vanderbilt tonight, and let's hope not, but if it is, what is going to be the takeaway from this season?
Justin, I think the takeaways will be they took another step forward. Certainly the stretch run of the season in February and March will be things you can hang your hat on going to next season. And I think they developed some pretty nice young players here. you know, how college basketball is these days. I mean, you certainly, with every team in the country, you're going to see some roster turnover. But I really hope this group stays together for next season. I don't have anything to tell me that they won't. A lot of these young guys have come along well. Colin Smith looks like he's going to be a tremendous player. Same thing for Paul Lewis and a few of the other young guys. And you have a nice core of older players, too, that – you know, you look at guys like Ezra Mignon and Tyron Lawrence and Quentin Melora Brown, and all those guys are expected to come back for next season. So I feel like, a lot of this group returns. You got a chance to really have a nice team coming back for next year. But I think getting to 20 wins was a big milestone for this team. And also, you look at some of the streaks they snapped this season. They snapped a long losing streak against Kentucky with two wins. They didn't beat Kentucky in 14 tries. They beat them twice in 10 days. Long losing streak against Tennessee and Florida and Auburn. They ended all of those things. So those are some really nice moments for this team this season, and I think there's a lot to build on for the future for Jerry Stackhouse and his coaching staff.
We know you have to pick up the kiddo from school and then head over to the gym, call a game tonight. Kevin, thanks for the visit as always, and we'll see. Hopefully we're talking about a second-round matchup in the NIT.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Anytime, guys. And, Darren, great to see you the other day, man.
Yep, you too, Kevin. Vanderbilt, if they were to win, will get the winner of Michigan and Toledo.